The other day I was walking through the park and I was walked by the playground and there was a father, a younger man, probably in his 30s, with a purple bag overflowing with kind of kid stuff, diapers and such. And he looked absolutely distraught. And I said, Dad stay to watch the kid. And he said, oh yeah, every day. It's so different now. He said, now I'm constantly chasing and cleaning up and not sleeping, and I don't know. And he looked pretty distraught. Poor guy. And then I went home, and I saw this documentary on HBO called 112 Weddings. I thought it was intriguing. That's about the number of weddings I've performed in my life as a priest. It's the number of weddings Monsignor did last summer. So I watched it, and what it is it's this documentary filmmaker who makes his living by doing video at weddings, and he's been doing it for about 15 years. And so he went back and he interviewed the couples whose weddings he had videotaped, you know, 15 years ago, 13 years ago, 8 years ago, to see how they were doing. And he showed like pictures of people's wedding day where there's just lots of optimism and hope and romantic idealism. And then they showed people kind of slouching on couches next to each other, kind of talking through things. And it was clear that just a lot of people were really burdened at the point that they were at in their marriages. Some with kids, some with their relationship issues, and really struggling to carry that all with them. One of my first weddings, it's when I was in Phoenix. I had prepared a couple and I really liked them. We were friends and we were at the wedding and the wedding went great. It was a beautiful day in Phoenix, not so hot. And we were at the reception. And normally when you're a priest, especially a young priest, when you go to the reception, they seat you next to the most Catholic elderly aunt. So you talk about Medjugorje and their kids didn't go to church and things like that. Which is fine. But this wedding, they sat me next to the bride's grandmother, who is this dynamo of a woman. We had a great conversation. We laughed a lot. And we really, really chummy. We really hit it off. And so it came for the time for the first dance, and they announced the couple, and they come out on the dance floor, and they're slow dancing in the thing. And it's so beautiful, and I'm kind of being drawn into the spirit of the thing. And so I say to this woman sitting next to me, I said, They're just so wonderful. They're so perfect together. They're ready. They're going to have a great life together. And she looked at me and said, honey, she had kind of a raspy spoker's voice, honey, they haven't got a clue what's ahead of them. She said, I mean, really, they've got a lot of stuff they're going to have to work through. And she started telling me the stuff that she had gone through in her life and in her marriage. And you know what? In the day that I was ordained, lots of similar kind of optimism and all that, and she could have said the same thing about me. Honey, he doesn't have a clue what he's getting himself into. And that's not because we're stupid or because we're foolish at that point. That kind of idealism is really important. But what it brings up is, in the mystery of life, whenever we love someone, whenever we're committed to someone, whatever vocation we're called to, whatever life we're committed to, whatever passion we have, if we really give ourselves to it, there are going to be times and seasons when we carry a heavy burden. There are going to be times and seasons where we carry a heavy load. It could be tasks beyond talents. It could be disappointment or disillusionment. It could be kind of discovering that the perfect vocation isn't perfect and the perfect person that we were in a relationship isn't perfect. Whatever it is, there are things that we can get discouraged and want to just fall out of it and drop it or take another path. And sometimes that's the thing to do. But so often, how we carry it, how we carry our burdens at those times will shape the rest of who we are and shape the rest of our lives. Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. And there's a couple ways that we can handle them. In the letter to the Romans, they talk about life in the flesh and life in the spirit. And life in the flesh just isn't like sensuality. But life in the flesh is where we rely completely on kind of our human faculties, intellect, experience, training. And those are really important, and we can do wonderful, amazing things by way of the flesh, by the way of our human understandings and our human capacities. But it's not enough a lot of times. Sometimes we're called to love when it seems humanly impossible to love. Sometimes we're called to continue struggling and continue fighting when it seems just humanly impossible to go another step or another day. Sometimes we're called to forgive when it would seem humanly impossible, maybe even illogical to forgive. And that's when we are called and invited to live in the life of the Spirit. We're called to live in the light of Jesus Christ and come to Jesus with our burdens. Come to Jesus and help him and allow him to help us carry those burdens in a way of grace. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are burdened. Come to me, and we know that Jesus will listen to us and Jesus will walk with us. Jesus suffered on the cross to show his capacity to carry a burden, and he will carry that burden with us if we present ourselves to him. I think it's always a good idea, if you don't have a crucifix in your home or near the place where you pray, it's a wonderful idea, because when you're suffering, when you're carrying a heavy burden, look at that and let it be a reminder that Jesus has suffered and Jesus will walk through your life with you and help you carry the burdens that have been given you, the burdens that life has come. Secondly, Jesus says, take my yoke on your shoulders. The yoke is an interesting thing. The yoke that Jesus refers to is a spiritual life. The spiritual life can be a yoke, and like a physical yoke, sometimes it seems like it's just heavy. It's just another thing to carry. When you suggest to someone that we take time to develop a relationship with Jesus, to read about Jesus in the Bible, to study, to pray, it seems like one more darn thing to do. But in fact, it will help us carry the burdens. That's what a yoke does. A yoke at the time of Jesus, probably what he was referring to, was a device that helped people carry a load. Say that we had the whole altar here full of stones, and I had to get the stones all gathered into a pile there. Well, I could pick them up one at a time. I could try to hold them in my arms and carry them and dump them in there, and that would get pretty old. The other way that you could do it is with a yoke, you'd have a pole that would come across your shoulders, ropes that went down into a bucket, and you could fill the buckets with stones, then use the strength of your body, your whole body, and carry the load on your shoulder, and then dump carry it down the steps and put it in the pile down there. Kind of like the Swiss Miss, in the hot chocolate box, the Swiss Miss girl with two buckets of milk. A yoke helps us to use all the strength we have and the balance of ourselves to carry a load. And that's what a spiritual life will do. It will help us to carry the load. Think about the times you've been burdened and how just a little bit of the spiritual life has helped carry the load and use the faculties we did have, the strength we did have in the fullest way. The second kind of yoke is a yoke that's probably more familiar, and that's a yoke where two animals can be harnessed together, so that the power of both animals can be combined in order to do a task that requires great strength. Well, if we put ourselves in that yoke and Jesus is next to us, then Jesus can help us to carry that load and pull that load in an ever more stronger way. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus doesn't promise that he'll make everything go away. Doesn't make promise that everything will get better. In fact, a couple years ago, I had a woman come after the RCAA program, and she had been baptized at Easter, and about this time of the year, she came to me really disappointed that her life had, all her troubles hadn't gone away with baptism. And that's not what Jesus promised, but what he did promise is that he would help us carry that load and find ways to use the best of who we are and the Spirit to carry that as well. Jesus says, learn from me. When we pray, we get a sense of what's really important. The things that we should worry about and the things that we should just let go. The things that we should tend to and the things that just aren't worth the time or the attention. Learn from me what's important. If through the kind of meekness and humility that Jesus had, that we don't take everything personally, that we don't have to fight every fight, just the fight, the good fight, the fights that we're called to or the struggles that we're called to. To learn to embrace change, to learn to accept people in their imperfection and forgive, as we know so well, we need to ask for forgiveness. Jesus would have us learn that burdens our growing pains. So often, in our burdens, we also experience the greatest joys and the greatest transformations. And we come to the truth of who we are, and we come to appreciate the truth of who others are. All of that we can learn from him when we give ourselves and accept the yoke of a spiritual life and deepen in that. Finally, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Rest is so important. Spiritual rest. And by rest doesn't necessarily just mean a cessation of work. But it's getting places and times where we can step out of our thought process. Sometimes when we're burdened, we can just be in a circle of constantly thinking around and around and over an issue, and it feels heavier. But if we can rest, step outside of it, not think about it, have something else, more, something of beauty or something of goodness to think about, then it can look so completely different. Rest doesn't seem important, taking time away, time to do nothing. But think of how many times in the Gospels that Jesus took his disciples to a place of rest, even when they had people waiting, even when they had important things to do. Jesus rested. Let us pray that we can find ways to come to Jesus and to find rest with him. Finally, we know that burdens so often, the things that are burdensome and the challenges and struggles that we have through the mystery of the Spirit, through the mystery of life, so often become the most important things in our life. They can lead us to the most profound moments of joy and the profound moments of meaning. I do a lot of funerals at St. Monica's, and I'm so proud of our musicians and hospitality people because I think we do funerals pretty well. We celebrate people's lives pretty well. I do a lot of anointings where I go to the hospital and are with people as they're anticipating death. And so often, the people who, at that stage, what's remembered is not the burden, but the joy that came as a fruit of it. It's not the burden and not sleeping with the child when the child was young, but the joy of seeing that child grow and thrive and have a life of their own. So often, it is exactly the struggle and the burden and the yoke that gets us to the place we need to be on the journey. Jesus offers to help us and teach us how to live through difficulties in such a way that we will not just survive, but thrive. And it may seem like adding more work, but in reality, a spiritual investment in a yoke with Jesus is a way to help us bear those things that life gives us, things that we can't anticipate, things that will lead us deeper and deeper into the life of God.